The Parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
There are notes to go with the sermon. If you didn't get one when you came in, you can put your hand up and stewards can bring them around. And I would again recommend the course guide which we have for this. It is £5 from David at the back. If you haven't got the money with you, because I never carry any money with me on a Sunday, I'm sure you'll take an IOU. But it is quite useful because it has activities and studies to do all the way through the week as well as just on Sundays. In John's Gospel, in chapter 13, Jesus says this, "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So Jesus makes love and the care we show for one another the very mark of how we will be known as his followers. How the world will recognize us as the real thing, his genuine followers. And that's why love, expressed as pastoral care for one another, is so important. And why we've set aside the next couple of months to look at it in our sermons and connect groups. And to do so in, hopefully, a very practical way. And to start us on our journey, we come to a very familiar story, with the parable of the Good Samaritan. A lawyer stands up and asks Jesus a question, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he gets an answer. You know the scriptures from Deuteronomy. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind." And from Leviticus, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Obvious, perhaps, and very easily said. Love God, love your neighbour. But oh, don't we know that we all fail when it comes to the details? Because how do we do it? Where do we start? Because it may be simply said, but it goes so deep. It's so vast and all-embracing. And perhaps the lawyer is feeling that a bit, because he comes back with another question. And who is my neighbour? Where do I start? Is there any way I can limit it to a nice group of people I can cope with? And so Jesus tells him and us this story of the Good Samaritan. A man was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Think of it as a kind of picture of life. It's a road we're all travelling, perhaps alone, perhaps with other people. And for some, the journey is smooth, with no problems at all. But for others, the robbers are waiting, and trouble is coming to their victims. Not because they're bad, not always because they're foolish, but just because that's the way life works out sometimes. And they are stripped and beaten and left for dead by the side of the road. And the question is, who cares? A question that might have gone through the mind of the man beside the road if he was in any fit state. But a question to us as well. Who cares? Who cares for the sick, the bereaved, the depressed, the lonely, the tired, those battered down by life? Who cares? Because one day it could be us. None of us is immune from the troubles of life. Who knows what lies ahead for any of us? And if we can't answer, we care, when we see need all around us now, what do we expect other people to do when we're the ones in need? So, who cares? And down the road come two men, a priest and a Levite, fine, upstanding, pious, church-going folk, the ones you'd expect of all people to care. Those verses about loving God and loving your neighbour are Old Testament verses. It's not new to Jesus. This is part of the Jewish as well as the Christian faith. This was the command that they should have known, and yet they pass by on the other side. And we can point the finger at them and say, ah, what hypocrites. But my problem with that is, I can see myself there. I can't hand on heart say that I'd never do that, or even that I haven't done that in the last week. Yes, they were indifferent and detached. And if you're following this in the study guide, there's your first line to fill in. But other people's needs never seem to come to us at a time that's convenient for us. We always have something pressing that we need to be doing right now. We can't afford to be interrupted. So I'd love to help, but if only you could have been robbed last Wednesday. I had time to deal with it then. And that's me. Perhaps it's you as well. I've got things to do, even tunnel vision sometimes. My day is mapped out, and I just don't want to be diverted from it. So this is a challenge for all of us together. When real need comes across our path, what are we going to do? Because we do have to step aside from our plans and come alongside the person who's hurting. And that can cost us. But the story doesn't dwell on those two men's failures. It moves on to the third man on the road, a Samaritan. Not a man the victim had any claim on. After all, that man may have been as dismissive of foreign Samaritans as anyone else. But here he is, held up as a contrast to the first two men. Because he had compassion and concern. He felt something stronger than his own preoccupations, perhaps even his own fear of rejection. And he came alongside the man to help, and he journeyed with him to get him safe to the inn. And that gives us the title for our course, Paraklesis, which is a Greek word from the Bible, which means to come alongside someone. The idea to come alongside them to help. To come alongside someone in need. To just be there with them. And to journey with them. And to walk with them, to help them to a place of safety. And that's really what it's all about. to see need, to come alongside people and to walk with them. Something we need to learn to give, and something we may all need to receive at some point in our lives. So, who cares? Let's say we care. But for us as Christians, where does it all come from? Yes, we have it as a command, but the Bible offers us a deeper motivation. From 2 Corinthians, I'll read it in the Message translation. All praise to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus, the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times, so that we can be there for that person, just as God was there for us. If you have the course notes, you'll see how many times paraclesis in various forms is used in that passage. But do you see how it works? Yes, we can come alongside other people to help, however inadequate we may feel, because this is something that God has first done for us. He came alongside us in our need. And that's the wellspring that gives the motivation and the ability for us to do the same for other people. We love because he first loved us. Now, traditionally, we've come to think of pastoral care as the responsibility of church leaders, of people paid and trained to do that sort of thing. And yes, it is certainly part of their job description, but I also want to emphasize that it's a core value of the whole church, because it is Jesus' command to all his followers. And in making the picture of the church as the body of Christ, the Apostle Paul emphasizes how we're all part of one another, connected to each other, and dependent on each other. This is something for all of us, that the world may know that we are Jesus' disciples. So what is paraclesis? What does coming alongside people look like? Well, we know what it's not, because its opposite or its antithesis is self-focused or self-centered living. Life that is dominated by our own concerns. Life that is so busy, so tied up with our own needs that it hardly notices what is happening to other people. So that's its opposite, self-focused living. And if that's the case, what we're looking for is other-centered living. Life that looks beyond our own concerns, to notice and recognize and act on the needs of other people. And that takes work. Because part of the fundamental nature of our sin is to be focused on ourselves. And it's only the transformation brought about by God's Spirit that can open us up to a better way. Yes, we have a command. In 1 Corinthians 10, we're told that none of you should be looking out for your own interests, but for the interests of others. But we're also given something greater, the example of God himself. As we read in 1 John chapter 3, this is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers, and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. Let's not just talk about love, let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're truly living in God's reality. So the command of God is backed up by his own example. Christ Jesus sacrificed his life for us. And so we need to reflect his character, the character of our Lord and Master, by developing this core value of care, of having the same concern for others that we have for ourselves, of loving our neighbour as we love ourselves. But where do we start? First, by developing awareness of other people's needs. It doesn't come naturally. We need to learn to read the signs and signals that other people send out. Perhaps their tone of voice, their body language, their facial expressions, all things that can be little hints of a smouldering volcano underneath. When you ask, as we usually do, someone how they are, and they reply, "Okay, thanks," it sometimes means they're not really okay. Perhaps we need to explore it, to dig a bit deeper. It also means recognizing that people struggle more than we often realize. The truth is that we all struggle, but some of us are better at hiding it than others. So let's become more aware and considerate of each other. So far, we've looked at paraklesis as meaning to come alongside another person. But it's one of those very expressive words that can be translated in several different ways in English. And that will actually give us the topics for the next few weeks. But we'll start with the times it's used to mean to come alongside someone to encourage them. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 3, we're told that we should be encouraging one another daily. So what is encouragement? It's affirming somebody, giving them support and inspiration, lifting them up, challenging them, helping them overcome a difficult time. And that's something we can all do. Every Sunday we need to be aware that some people struggle more than we realize, and to be willing to get alongside them to encourage them and support them. Imagine you've gone to support one of your friends or family doing a park run or a half marathon. What are you going to shout when you see them coming? "Oh, you look terrible. I'll give up now." "Oh, I don't know why you bother. You're never going to finish. That last lot looked much better than you." Of course you wouldn't. You're there to encourage them, to inspire them to give their best, to cheer them on. "Go on, you can do it. Not much further now. Well done, you're going great. Think how good you feel when you finish." That's what we do in a race. But what about church? Sometimes church can be a discouraging place. One person said the biggest discouragement sometimes comes from Christian friends. We have to ask ourselves, is our church encouraging? Am I personally contributing to the church with encouragement? Am I positive? Do I build people up? So what do we need to become encouragers? We can move out of our comfort zone. The priest and the Levite were comfortable with church, but not comfortable with the man beside the road. The Samaritan, on the other hand, was willing to step out of his comfort zone to help. Our comfort is not the point of church. It's really about other people. And then we need to be a giver and not a getter. We can't truly love unless we're prepared to give and to serve while expecting nothing in return. Remember the message of Mark's gospel. You heard this many times. Jesus came to serve and not to be served. And that is the example he sets us. We start by giving encouragement, not looking for it. The words of Jesus are that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And then, going back to the beginning, we can focus on how much God cares for us. In 1 John 4 it says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." We need to know how much God loves and cares for us. It's out of this understanding and experience that we're able to care for and encourage other people. As we've read today, he comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person, just as God was there for us. Then we need to be alert for opportunities. We need to develop sensitivity to the feelings and the struggles of other people. Encouragement is more an opportunity to be seized rather than one to be created. By putting others' needs first, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Then we need to be a good listener. Listening can be an expression of loving. It's one of the most encouraging things we can do. It's said that a burden shared is a burden halved, and many of us are more prone to talk rather than to listen. So perhaps we need to be more aware of this in our own lives and learn to be listeners. And we need to use positive words. Use encouraging words that bless, not blister, that heal, not hurt, that build up, not tear down, that soothe, not sear. You need to use words of affirmation and not denigration. And finally, we need to do acts of kindness. We don't miss opportunities to come alongside others and encourage them with acts of kindness. Make a phone call, drop a note, pay a visit, post a card, send some flowers or even a gift. And not just now and again, but regularly. Galatians 6 says, "Let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. That's why, whenever we can, we should always be kind to everyone, and especially to our Christian brothers." But of course, those are all nice ideas. But if you're anything like me, there is a barrier we need to get over before we can even start. And that is our built-in desire for self-protection. What do I mean by that? Well, it's because coming alongside other people to meet them at their point of need does involve opening ourselves up to them in some way, which means exposing our own vulnerability. One of those words I can never say. And many of us are quite fearful of that. Will they like me? Will they accept me? Have I been rejected before and I'm afraid of being rejected again? Yes, there is a risk. And perhaps those of us who are of a more introverted temperament feel that risk most acutely. But think of the Samaritan. He was living or journeying in a country where he would be hated. Maybe even the man he helped in better times would have dismissed him and hated him. But he still took the risk and helped. And the challenge of God is there for us. Will care for other people be a core value for us, for our community, our church, for me? Even to the point of overcoming our built-in core value of wanting to protect ourselves against the risk of rejection And this is Jesus' command to us, that we love one another and show the world that we are his disciples. So will we be like the priest and the Levite, comfortable and absorbed in our own world, and so unwilling to engage with the very real needs of the man right there in front of them? Or will we be like the Samaritan, who was willing to step out of his comfort zone, to come alongside the person in need, to journey with them, and to show true loving care? And Jesus' challenge at the end of the story to the lawyer and to us was this: go and do likewise. Amen.